Now let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy on chapter number 20.
Little Brother Sam Jennings.
Chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, reading from verse 1 and reading down to verse number 9. Verse 1 to 9. When thou goest out to battle against the enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people, that thou be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, and to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another dedicate it. And what man is he that planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, how they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Now the Lord will bless to us this interesting reading from his good, precious word. Now the Lord Jesus was asked a question in the Gospels by the Pharisees and the scribes. And they said, What is the greatest commandment of the law? And the Lord Jesus Christ immediately went to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. And then he went on to Leviticus, and thy neighbor as thyself. It was well known that when the Lord Jesus met the enemy in the wilderness with the three tremendous temptations, one to do with the body, one to do with the soul, one to do with the spirit, that the Lord Jesus took up the book of Deuteronomy. And in a very small section, chapter number 6 and chapter number 8. And whenever those scribes, and especially the Sadducees, came along, they had a great idea to trip the Lord Jesus in his words. And they talked about the law, which would state that if a man marry a woman and die and have no family, then the brother of that man has to marry her, and so to keep the name alive. And they went on to talk about seven brethren. All had the same wife, and they had no children, and then they all died, and the woman died also. And then they thought that they had the Lord, and they said, In the resurrection, who will claim her? Of course the Lord said, You know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. And the Lord Jesus pointed out things that they didn't understand. And where did they get that? They got it from Deuteronomy chapter 25. Their whole argument was based upon that wonderful chapter. And they also came to the Lord Jesus in chapter 19 of Matthew's Gospel and asked him about divorce. And they had a certain scripture that they brought up concerning Moses, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 24. And the Apostle Paul, whenever he wanted to prove one of the interesting points, that preachers and evangelists are worthy of financial support as they do the work of the Lord, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he referred to Deuteronomy chapter number 24, and he said, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I think that the Pharisees and the scribes saw the tremendous potential in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord Jesus, of course, knew the tremendous thoughts and potential in the book of Deuteronomy. It's a wonderful book, you know, There was an old man one time, I think it was F.W. Grant, had a great theory, and he may have been right. And he said the first five books of the Bible, that's the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, he says, are equal and over against the first five historical books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Therefore, he would put Genesis alongside Matthew. Now, that works out all right. And he would put Exodus alongside Mark. Now, a wee bit more difficult to work that out. And he would put Luke alongside Leviticus. Now, it is easy, that, as the priest in both. And he would take Numbers and put it against John, and, you know, as a wilderness book, Numbers, and so is John, with many references made to the book of Numbers. Then he took, of course, Deuteronomy, and he placed it alongside the book of the Acts. Now, he didn't say much about it, but, you know, if you study it, there's a tremendous parallel. Let me just tell you one of them. And it's just this, that what we have in Deuteronomy, the whole of the book, is preparing for Israel to enter in and possess the land. And their behavior in the land whenever they get there, and how they're going to have to fight for it, to embrace their inheritance. Now, what that really means is that Israel are going to take and possess the Canaanites and drive them out and take their place. Because of the terrible idolatry and failure and immorality of those nations. It was the divine judgment of God. But what you see in the book of the Acts is the reverse of this. You see that it's Israel that's going to be set aside, not the nations. It's Israel that has failed to acknowledge God. And they have rejected their Messiah and crucified him. And done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So it is Israel that are going to be rooted up and set aside. And it's the church that's going to occupy the place of testimony. There's a lot of similarities between them. From chapter number 5, we have the law. The first four chapters look back to the past. The last four chapters look forward to what is coming in the last days. Chapter number 5 gives you the 10 commandments restated. And in chapter number 6 to chapter number 26, we get their behavior in the land. And do you know what it's based upon? The 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments are gone into in a deeper spiritual way. And that divides that big center section from 6 to 26 into 10 little sections, and each one based upon one of the commandments. We have read from chapter number 20. Now, chapter number 20 with the next chapter, all together with certain things from the previous chapter that have got to do with killing, that have got to do with taking life. And it's alongside the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And there, you see, the murderer is brought up in chapter number 21. People who have committed murder. And you see, the people who have murdered are worthy of death and are hanged upon a tree. And that the body must be taken down before the night is out or the day is out. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And you will see that this chapter that we're looking at now is about warfare. The whole of the chapter, right from verse number 1 right down to the end, is to do with warfare. Now what we have in the verses that we have read, verses 1 to 9, is going out to battle. The preparation, a sort of a weeding out of certain people that were not allowed to go and fight. Reasons why they were not to go into battle. And then whenever you come down a little bit further, you will see that there's another thing. That they're to take certain cities. Now, if they're foreign cities, that is outside the land of Canaan, they could spare them. If they were willing to make conditions, and if not, they were to slay them. But as for the cities in Canaan, they were to make no peace, no arrangements whatsoever, no covenants, they were to slay them. Man, woman, child, beast, everything, because they had cursed the land. And then whenever you come down to the last section, it says, whenever you go to war and start to fight, don't cut down all the trees. That's what the nations did, you know. and they cut down all the trees that were good for food. Now you're not to do that. God has caused those trees to grow to provide food for your fellow men, and it's a terrible thing to destroy what God has given. Therefore you can use the trees for battering rams and things like this, and building up against a wall, and building up certain fortresses and so on, trees that are not fruitful trees, that don't bear fruit, but don't cut down under any condition, because they will help to feed your armies. And you see, the whole thing is about war, but I'm only interested in this first section here. And it's interesting, right at the very beginning, so that faith will lay hold upon it, it says, whenever you go out to fight now, be not afraid. The Lord your God is with you, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Why, all the enemies in Canaan were not as strong as Pharaoh and his hosts. In other words, what God is going to do for them, he has done before in a greater way. And so that should be a basis for their faith. And he goes on a little bit further to talk about then the weeding out of certain ones. Now we remember that Gideon did that. Everyone that was afraid, you know, based upon this very chapter. Everyone that was afraid, well, they weren't, there was 32. Then all those that were afraid, there was only 10,000 left. And then with lapping the water, there was only 300 left. And Gideon went out with his 300. Here God is weeding them out, as it were, certain ones, making the army smaller and smaller. And you know, what is that to God? If there's only a dozen of them, it wouldn't make any difference, because God was on their side. Now the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about warfare. He talked about the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. He said also, you know, about a certain king had 10,000 men, and there came against him a man with a king with 20,000 men, and he talked about a terrible war that was going to take place, but how that it could be evaded. And the Lord Jesus said, a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. And the Lord makes several references to war. And we've got to think about the epistles already. Our brother has referred to that, under him has referred to that too, about fighting, and fighting the good fight of faith, and standing up for the principles, because we have got enemies against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Apostle Paul, he said, you know, whenever we go out to fight, 2 Corinthians 6, we have the armor of God on the right hand and on the left. On the context, there is the world. And Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. The context there is the flesh. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's the devil. And so the Apostle Paul is warning us and arming us and telling us how that we can go against these three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The same three that were in the temptation with the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Now here is the same thing. Here is a warfare. And you know, we're all to engage in the warfare. But are we fit for the warfare? Have we capabilities? Well, there are certain people, and they're brought up, these three categories, and then a fourth one. There's four categories altogether of those that were not to go out to fight in this chapter here. Four categories, and three of them have got to do with tangible things. A building, a vineyard, a wife. Things that we can see, handle, hold, tangible things. But the last one is the odd one out, fear. And it's hard to describe fear. And you know, every time you get a four in the scripture, every time, you look carefully, it's divided into a three and a one. For instance, the Apostle Paul, there were four journeys that he made in the book of the Acts. Four journeys. The first one was a missionary journey, and the second, and the third. But the fourth one, he was a prisoner on the way to Rome. On the shipwreck that we have heard about already. And so it is in this very chapter here, three of these things are very tangible, but there's one that is a sort of a deeper thing. It's something that cannot be described. A fear, a dread, a trembling, as we have it at the start of the passage. Now, it's interesting that these three things should come up, or the first three at any rate. One is to do with a building. Now, in other words, the Lord said, when a man has built the house, unless he has really dedicated that house to the Lord, unless he has gone and lived in the house, as others would say, well, for a whole year, he's free. He's not to go out to fight. Lest he die in the fight and somebody else takes over his work. And here's a man who's planted a vineyard, and you know, the first year of a new vineyard is to be given to the Lord. So the Lord is looking for his portion. And if that portion hasn't been given to the Lord yet, the man is to stay at home for the year. He's not to go out and fight. And the third one is to do with a wife. And he is betrothed to a wife, but he hasn't been joined to her yet. So therefore he has a year to take his wife and enter into marriage before he goes out to war. Now, these are very interesting principles, let me tell you. Because whenever we come to the thought of building is a very big thing in our New Testament. And there's one epistle that especially is taken up with building, and that is 1 Corinthians. Where you have 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, more about that in a moment. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where the word edify occurs 7 times, and the word edify means to build up, And whenever you come to the vineyard, well, Matthew will tell you of several parables about vineyard, because it's a very Jewish book, and a vineyard was a picture of Israel, according to Isaiah chapter 5. But the Lord is bringing out spiritual principles out of those vineyards. And one of the things that comes out of the vineyard is the wine, and it speaks of joy. Joy. And there's one epistle that's given over to the vineyard in that way, and that's the Philippian epistle, an epistle of joy from beginning to end. And whenever you come down to the wife, it would speak of our affections, our love for our partner, for the one that we have married. And so, shall we say, the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. There's an epistle that is given over to that, and that is Ephesians, the head and the body, the bride and the church, the bridegroom. And it's wonderful to think that these things then in the New Testament are taken up in a spiritual way. Now let me look at the first one just for a moment or two, and I not take too long. I want to leave plenty of time for somebody else, or maybe two speakers. Let me look at the first one for a little moment or two. As I say, the Lord spoke very much about building. He spoke about the man building his house upon the rock, and another upon the sand, to do with obedience and so on. And the Lord spoke about a man sitting down to build a tower and couldn't finish it, in chapter 14 of Luke, a man who did not count the cost. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No mistakes with the Lord. He shall build his church, and he shall finish it, and nothing can hinder it, as the purpose of God will all be gathered home when the church is complete. But the Apostle Paul takes up it in a different way altogether, and he talks about the assembly, and again, as I say, 1 Corinthians, and especially chapter number 3. Now he says, I have come along, he said, and I have laid the foundation for this building. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the local assembly. That's what he's talking about, the church at Corinth. I laid the foundation, he said. I planted that church. I told you the principles of leadership, the principles of the breaking of bread, and obedience, and unity, and love, and motive, and all these things, and the pattern, the tremendous pattern, and we've heard about that already. The pattern of the assembly I have laid. Now he says, others are building upon. For after all, if there's a foundation, you want to build upon it. You can't go in and just live in a foundation. And this house, this building is for God. It's to be dedicated to God. It's for the Lord's presence. It's for the Lord to occupy it and to enjoy it, you see. So says the Apostle Paul, others are building upon it. There are some that they build gold, silver, precious stones. That is good material to build into this spiritual house, he said. That will really work and work very, very well. And he says others, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, find it anywhere. You'll find it out in the street. You'll not find the gold, the silver, the precious stones in the street. But here, wood, hay, and stubble is combustible. It can be easily set alight and woof, it's all gone. But put the fire to the gold, the silver, the precious stones, they become out even more precious. All the dross is burnt away. And what's the Lord talking about here, building into the assembly? It's ministry. It's the teaching. Now, it's strictly teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Of that I'm absolutely convinced. And he laid the foundation of all the truths most surely believed amongst us. And there's others building upon it. Now, in other words, if you haven't learnt to build, if you haven't learnt the assembly principles yet, and how precious they are, there's no use trying to go out to war against the devil. I tell you, he'll make mincemeat of you. You're not fit for it, unless, as it were, you recognize the preciousness of the assembly, the building. That's really what we have here. This is what the Spirit of God means. For the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, according to what we have in Romans and so on. So here is people engaged in the building. Now, what they build in is gold, silver, precious stones. As I say, you'll not find it too easy. And you know, a man may stand up for 30 minutes and speak maybe 20 minutes or so on, but you know, he has maybe been digging for that for a long time. He has maybe pored over this and tried to mine it for hours and hours on end, you know. And that's the only way it can come. There's no shortcuts to knowing your Bible, let me tell you. The only way you get to know it is work on it. And work at it very, very hard. And look and zero in the things that God would have us appreciate. And the assembly is a tremendous teaching. You know, that's what the epistles are about, those nine church epistles that we have in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul. Those seven churches, but nine epistles. And then we have those pastoral epistles that we have heard from this evening. Again, to do with the local testimony. This is a tremendous thing, that a big part of our New Testament is to do with this. Isn't it a lovely thing to be able to build into it? To strengthen the saints. To put a polished brick in there. A little paving in there. A little tile in there. Isn't it lovely to be able to build up the saints of God and build them up? And the only thing that will build them up is the Word of God. And the Word of God applied in the Spirit of God, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Interesting that comes before chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul clears the ground very, very clearly, and he says, let me tell you this, that before you talk about building or anything, it can only be received by the Spirit and given out by the Spirit. And it's only by the Spirit that the ministry can be appreciated and received and worked upon in the heart. To get it in and to work it out in our lives and to pass it on. There's much about building here. And if you come to the second one, again, there's something very interesting here. It's to do with vineyards and giving to the Lord, that the Lord has his first place. That the Lord has his rights to the first fruits. For we learn in other scriptures that the first year of the harvest is to be given to God of a new vineyard. Here's a man who has planted a vineyard. Here the things are growing and all, but it hasn't been given to the Lord yet. It hasn't been harvested. He's not to go out to battle. Or in other words, it's the appreciation of Christ and the things that Christ has done for us and will do for us. And we've got the earnest of the Spirit, the first payment. And it's what the Lord is going to do for us. Do you know what it would do? It would fill us with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, says the Apostle Peter. And what's he talking about? The inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And he's talking along this context there in 1 Peter chapter number 1. So here's the Apostle Paul, and especially you come to that epistle. That epistle of Philippians, which is the epistle of joy. For the word joy and rejoice is found 16 times. Somebody said 17 times. Well, let me tell you, I've counted them. And whenever I counted them, I found 16. And then I counted them again, and I found 17. And then I counted them again, and I found 16. So I'm not sure whether it's 16 or 17 yet. Maybe I can't count very well. But the thing is this, very, very definitely, it's there in every chapter. If you want to see what it's about, chapter number 1 is all about gospel preaching and the joy of having fellowship in the gospel. There's nothing like it. To see people reached and saved and God answering our prayers, that is something that fills us with joy. And whenever you come to chapter number 2, again it has been referred to by our brother Dennis, and this young man Timothy, no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And the whole of the chapter is helping others. That's true humility. Forget about yourself. Help others. There's a tremendous joy and satisfaction in that. And whenever you come to chapter number 3, you see there's a whole lot of false cults trying to get in here. Sinless perfectionist, Judaism and Gnosticism, all trying to get in. But at the end, we worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. The joy of true worship by the revelation of Christ. And whenever you come to chapter number 4, even in a time of want, I rejoice, he says. I rejoice. I know, he says, and I know by experience how to be empty and how to be full. Whether empty or full, he says, I rejoice because my confidence is in God. A very happy epistle. And unless, as it were, you're enjoying the Lord in your heart and soul, there's no use going out of the warfare. No use. Do you think you could face the devil if you're miserable in your soul? Do you think you could resist the flesh if you're having the joy of the Lord in your heart? That's one thing we want to get. And whenever we come down to the third one, I haven't the time to speak about it because I want to stop now. There's much could be said about it. It's my affections for the person of Christ. Just how much do I love him? I'll tell you how you know you love him. Keep his commandments. He that keeps my commandments is the one that loves me. It's a great thing to love the Lord Jesus. Just to consider his person. Look at him in the Gospels. Just meditate upon him. I love to read those Gospels. I have read them hundreds of times and I still will read them till the Lord takes me home. The Gospels, just to get occupied with the person of Christ, to, as it were, enjoy the bridegroom, because we're betrothed to him and the time of union is still to come. As for the last one, a man of fear, how can a man of fear and trembling go out to war? How can I war against the world, the flesh, and the devil if I'm a trembling soul like this? Now, there's times that it is good to tremble, but this is a lack of faith. This is a lack of confidence, a lack of faith and confidence in the living God and in the Spirit of God. To me, that's the backbone of this little chapter. It tells us to build in the assembly with our little words of ministry. And to enjoy the Lord on the things of the assembly. And to deeply appreciate Christ. And if you do this, I tell you, you're strong. And too strong for all that the devil could cast against you.